Let faith arise. Chris Tomlin wrote a beautiful worship song titled Let Faith Arise, and his words are an inspiration for this devotional. To have our faith arise means that our faith is being built up, strengthened, expanded. It's like it's defying gravity and rising up to catch the mighty wind of the Holy Spirit to carry it higher and higher into the heavenlies. Is our faith doing that? And how can we let our faith arise this year? Faith begins and grows through our relationship with Jesus Christ, as he is the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Paul explains to his Roman listeners that faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Once we have heard the good news about Jesus Christ, we are to believe in him. The seed of faith is then planted in our hearts when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and believe that his blood washes away all our sins. It says in Romans, this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. But is it enough to take our faith and hide it away that no one can see it? Not at all. Faith is never silent. And just like a seed planted in the ground seeks to grow, so our faith is planted in our hearts and also seeks to grow. Jesus compares our faith to a mustard seed, which is the tiniest of seeds, yet it can grow into a large evergreen, up to 30 feet tall with branches spreading 20 feet wide. And it's the massive width of this tree that makes it a perfect refuge for all types of birds and animals. What's also remarkable is that the mustard tree thrives in environments that normally destroy other plants. Thus, when Jesus compares our faith to the transformation of this tiny seed to a mighty tree, he's showing us how our faith has the capacity to grow when we're rooted in him. As one writer explains, the tiniest bit of faith, when it's true faith from God, grows to immense proportions in the lives of believers and spreads out to influence all they come in contact with. Faith requires us to stand firm regardless of what we see, and it stays convinced in what it is hoped for. It believes in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, from God's creation to his eternal kingdom. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible, we see in Hebrews 11. Where do we stand in the creation story? Do we believe that the universe was created when God spoke it into existence? The Word opens with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And faith responds, it is so. And when we emphatically believe what we cannot see or understand, then we turn our face to God and say, I believe in you. For we are told, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. This is certainly evident in the numerous testimonies listed in Hebrews 11, but we also see this illustrated throughout Scripture. Abraham believed God and his promise for a son, and although his body was growing older and weaker, his faith was growing stronger. By faith, Moses defied the powerful Pharaoh and led his people to freedom. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea on dry land, and by faith, the wall of Jericho fell down after they had been circled for 7 days. But we see the same evidence of faith in the New Testament. By faith, the woman with the issue of blood stretched out her hand to grasp the tassels of Jesus' hem and was instantly healed. By faith, two blind men called out to Jesus for mercy, and Jesus touched their eyes and their sight was restored. By faith, the centurion officer came to Jesus requesting that his servant be restored to health. He believed that Jesus need only speak the word, and even from a distance, Jesus could heal. Similarly, a Canaanite mother believed that Jesus would heal her daughter or could heal her daughter and was willing to have her faith tested by the harsh words Jesus spoke. Still, she believed that he who was filled with mercy would heal her daughter, and it was so. The Gospels are full of such accounts of those who had faith in Jesus Christ. They did not have faith in their thoughts about Jesus or what others had told them. They believed in Jesus himself, the Son of God, the great physician, and their faith was rewarded. But there were others, even his own disciples, that did not have such faith. When a great storm arose, the disciples, trained fishermen, were fearful of drowning and called desperately to their master, who calmly stood and calmed the roaring seas. They had already heard his teaching, seen his miracles, declared him the Messiah, but doubted when they were tested by adversity. Thus he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" When Jesus walked on the water, Peter bravely called out, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus called him out of the safety of the boat. But the wind and the water frightened Peter, and he began to sink. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "Oh, you who have so little faith, why did you doubt me?" Through this situation, Jesus reminds us that if he has called us, he will protect us and draw us to his place of safety. Later, though, with Peter, Jesus tells him that he's also called him to suffer and to die for his name. Peter writes about this to his congregation who are also suffering and teaches them, "These trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Peter understood that growing faith is tested faith. This is evidenced in Abraham when God tests him in asking him to sacrifice his beloved son Isaac. He also tests the children of Israel throughout their 40-year journey to the Promised Land to see if they truly love him and obey his commands. And the Apostle James affirms it when he writes, "You know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." The early church was strengthened in their faith through their persecution, as well as the miracles and the teachings of the apostles. But despite their trials, their faith needed to be expressed in action. James offers the clear instruction that we are to be doers of the word and not just hearers, admonishing us that faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless, adding that he will show his faith by his works. Similarly, Paul is pleased with the Thessalonians whose faith is flourishing and their love for one another is growing, and encourages them that God will give them the power to accomplish all the good things their faith prompts them to do. And how do we know what to do? Paul tells the Ephesians that because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. And it is at his throne of grace that we receive our instructions on what to do to bring him glory and praise. We do not tell a mountain to move or a mulberry tree to be uprooted as a sign of our faith. No, we wait and work in obedience to God's word and will, just like Jesus did, to follow his instructions and trust his outcome when we reach out to minister to others and bring the good news to the farthest reaches of the world. We are confident in his word, not our own. That is the living, growing, honorable faith that humbly serves and faithfully follows. That's when our faith will arise. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.